Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. The men are in, and we want you in every area of your life to be happy, fulfilled, and we know that for that to happen, you got to make some pretty tough choices from time to time. Here are a couple of guys that have made those choices, Chris Williams and Milan Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Good to see all of you.
Well, it is great to be here. And, you know, if you're not in the holiday season, well, you got to move quickly here because it's going to be over. I think because Thanksgiving came so late, it just seems like Christmas jumped up on us. And it's kind of exciting and fun. And I hope that you're able to truly honor what Christmas is all about. And what Christmas is all about is celebrating the birthday of our Savior. And are we ever, ever happy about having a Savior that cared enough about us to come and die for us? But as we all know, Jesus didn't just show up on Christmas in a barn. He's been here for quite some time, before time, all of time. Jesus has been here. And so it's really important to remind our children that, you know, we celebrate Christ, but Christ has been around a very long time. He was with God. He is God. Everything was made through him and for him and by him. That's the reality. But we celebrate his birth. If you want to join us, we would love to celebrate whatever's going on in your life or help you with a few things that maybe aren't too celebratory, you might say. And so call us 1-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for a couple hours, and we would love to talk with you. And I'm just wondering, both Milan and Chris, are there Christmas traditions that you guys have that you have found to be extremely helpful, meaningful, to everybody in your family? Anything like that going on at your place?
Well, we love reading the Christmas story. And in one of the most helpful resources for our boys, especially when they're a little bit smaller, was the Children's Storybook Bible. So it's like, hey, they may not get it, they may not understand it, but man, that we just love getting in the Children's Storybook Bible, reading it. And now that our 8-year-old is a little bit older, he's been reading. We're kind of reading through Luke and Luke's account of Christmas, and it's just really fun to come back and revisit it and remind ourselves and be in wonder of what Jesus has done for us.
Amen. Yeah. Milan, anything you guys do?
Well, we do several things, including spending a lot of money on food.
Gotta do that.
Yeah, with a family of 20, including all the grandkids, it's funny because we really only, all 20 of us, get together just a few times a year. It's hard to get everybody together. Mm-hmm. One of our most favorite things to do is to sing Christmas carols. And we'll either do it at home around the fireplace, or sometimes we'll go around and I pre-warn my neighbors and we'll go caroling around the block, and I just make sure they'll open the door for us.
That's awesome.
And they love that. So that's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you pre-warn them.
Yeah, I do. I have to pre-warn them and just say, that's us. Please open.
Well, our tradition here is to take your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We have a matching gift here at year-end, $168,700, waiting for folks to come alongside and match, and we're really excited about that, because everything that we do goes to transform people's lives. That's what we're trying to do here. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artemir. Let's go to Ann. Ann is calling us, and she's calling us all the way from Derry, New Hampshire. Listens on WEZE. Ann, how you doing today? What's going on in your life?
I'm okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So my son is 18 years old. He lives at home. He's a senior in high school. And over the past few months, I've found out that he's depressed and suicidal. And he's resistant to medication and treatment. And he's actually been, he was hospitalized briefly for just a couple of nights, but then he left against medical advice. And so I just want to know what's the best thing to do to help him.
Well, what is all the cause of this? What's been happening in his life that he would reach this kind of state?
Well, I found out in April, May of this year that he was depressed and suicidal, but very recently he's had a girlfriend for the past year, and she went on to college, and that kind of has triggered something. I think his feelings of depression and knowing that she was leaving and going to college, and if he were to answer the question, he says that he feels like he doesn't have any like life skills, and he says he's not smart, and he's not, but if someone were to look, he is smart, he has friends, he okay. has all those things, he's
and
done
so
well in school in the past.
Is he going to college anywhere?
No. By
Why
his
is
choice,
that?
Because he's kind of said that he didn't want to waste his money, and he wants to do something else. And
But it does sound like that that in the midst of her leaving, he kind of feels like he's, you know, left back there for nothing, you know, with no purpose or meaning.
Right.
Hey, Ann.
All right, well, let's see what Chris and Mylon have to say here.
Ann, yeah. This is kind of a hard question, but is he smoking marijuana?
He is not smoking marijuana.
Vaping it?
I have.
Ingesting it?
Yep. Well, he does vape. I've drug tested him a few times, and he was not positive for marijuana. Well, he has smoked marijuana, but most recently, it's been negative, but I know that he used LSD recently, and I know he had tried Adderall to help him in school, but he purchased it himself, of course, illegally, and I know that he had a few times when it was very apparent that he was abusing the Adderall.
Okay, so really, with marijuana, people can become become depressed, paranoid, anxious, lethargic, uninspired to make movement forward. And I would want to explore that and help him understand that many of the things he might be doing to allay short-term anxiety and to help him with short-term relief is really over the long haul driving him downhill. And a lot of people don't know that. That's not that message is not popularly spoken of and shared. It's not Facebooked. You know, his generation just says this is cool, it's okay, it doesn't hurt you, but it really does. Chris, you know more about this than I do. Why don't you share something, if there's anything else you want to add to that?
Well, yeah. THC, or marijuana-induced mental illness, especially we've seen a lot of cases in my practice of psychosis, and there's a lot going on there. We can't treat these things as innocent as the big companies that promote these things, especially in states like California where it's legal. This is driven by a lot of, shall I say, money-driven, skewed information. And so it's really important to know what these things are actually doing to our children. But with that said, Ann, I'm curious, where's Dad?
We are divorced. His dad, he's available and he's there because we have another son, but he hasn't had a good relationship with him. Partly, I think, by my son's own choice, because my other son has a good relationship with his dad.
Let me jump in here, Ann, because here's my primary concern, is that we're taking shots in the dark on what's going on with your son that is depressed and suicidal. Now, I know that it sounds like he's not willing to or to share what's really going on the inside. But that's also oftentimes a function of how safe or confident he feels in the connection between you, him and you, or him and his dad. And so he needs a safer connection to really talk about what's going on the inside. And I think that there's a lot of shame messaging that is going on inside of him. He can't do this, he can't do that. A lot of learned helplessness, and that actually drives a lot of addictive behavior. We want to medicate this learned helplessness, this hopelessness that we find in the world, but we got to find out what's going on the inside.
Well, think about this. And he used marijuana. He was a user of marijuana to the extent that you had to have him tested and stuff, and he quits. Okay, so now he doesn't have marijuana. So now what's he going to do other than feel like, I've got to destroy myself. I can't live like this. The thing that was his retreat wasn't the comfort of a father who was confident in him and could build him up from the inside out, or comfort him. And so now that thing that he went to that everybody said was okay, he's saying, I'm not going to use that, or he's not using it. And so he's like every other person that gets involved with drugs. When you stop, if you're not in some kind of recovery, you're desperate. You're in trouble. It's serious. And so the thing about him not doing something, you need everything you can to get him at a minimum with a male therapist, to have a relationship develop there, a father substitute of some kind. And it is so hard, but don't just let him exist, because he really needs some direction, some guidance. I mean, it's very tough. I feel for him. He must really be miserable.
Yeah, this is a life-threatening situation, and obviously we got to treat it as such. And we could make criteria around that, like living in the home and maintaining, you know, finishing out high school requires that you meet with a therapist once a week.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just, I have the appointment with this therapist that I've heard is really good working with guys your age. The time is this, and I'm going to take you. And it's just not something where you would say, how would you feel about going to see this guy? You just make the appointment and expect him to keep
it.
And you facilitate him going there.
I get that, He has gone on and off, and he is willing to go again. But it's been very difficult, so...
Well, you may just have to have that extra strength, the extra boundary to say, this is what we got to do, this is what's got to happen, because, again, it's life-threatening. And just to add something else in there, let your son know, you may have already done this, but I want to encourage it. Hey, I'm willing to look at whatever is in me, whatever my part is that contributes to this.
And this is one of the most difficult ages of your son's life. And as parents raising an 18-year-old, that is not motivated and struggling and lethargic and et cetera is really, really difficult. It's a hard phase. I empathize with you. But I just want to also suggest that it's important that you not go easy on your son if you think he's not had a good relationship with his dad, and then you compensate, you know, by being the good mom and then not being hard enough. This is, as Chris said, super important, okay?
Yeah. And two things I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, because what Mylon's saying here is you don't want to raise him in reaction to anything. You want to raise him the best way possible that you can as a single mom. And then How We Love is going to help you understand this attachment style that he has. I think it'll give you some really good insight there. But I'll ask our folks to pray for him because and pray for you because you need it. You really do need it. 1-800-229-3000. It's these desperate situations where we have to do the tough thing. You know, she said that she was doing some things, but it was extremely hard. Boy, that's when parenting is no fun and yet needed the most, when it's really hard to get
point,
a child
Steve.
To do. They don't just automatically fall in line.
No, they don't.
And so a couple of things here. When your child is successfully using marijuana, that's the time to demand that they not use marijuana. When they tell you how great it is and how well they're doing, you must not let that. You must not house that child and give them the feeling that you're okay with it because they're okay. Because you're not okay when you're smoking marijuana, when you have that need. It doesn't matter. You know, Willie Nelson just stopped. You know, Willie Nelson's a multimillionaire, and he and has all sorts of stuff around him where he could smoke marijuana and show up and sing. So that's a little bit different than people that have to do different kinds of things in life. You can't use the example of one person who's smoked for years and say, hey, I'll be able to do this for years. It's really tough. And as I said the other day when Solomon was in the audience while I was preaching, the marijuana today is much stronger than the marijuana I smoked when I was in college. And he was able to hear that that the only reason I said
Steve,
is I want him
to
stay away.
If Woodstock Weed was riding a bike right now, it's F-35 fighters. I mean, the potency is unbelievable. And I don't want us to sound like stick-in-the-mud moralists. Because the reality is what we see in our offices is devastating as a result of this.
I don't mind being called a stick-in-the-mud moralist, personally.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it.
But I don't want to be dismissed because it's so much more than this.
Anything, you know? That's exactly right, Chris. Anything that you become dependent upon to manage your emotions, that the public will not, other than, you know, the Center for Disease Control and various places like that, the popular opinion is this stuff is harmless, and it's not. It's worse and worse than it's ever been. So.
Yeah. And please don't get confused. The goal is not stopping. The goal is starting a different way of life with responsibility and recovery so that you can cope with life without the tool you had that was destroying things. Let's go to Melissa, Warrenton, Virginia. Listening on WAVA. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fine. I just appreciate you guys so much. This is like the third time I've called in, so and I'll get right to it. I have a
Well, let's try to get it right this time, okay?
For real? Are you kidding me? Okay. I have a four-year-old daughter. My husband has kind of being self-destructive. He's been... Oh, my gosh. So he's lied. He's cheated, and I found out he's been cross-dressing. He has not really, he goes to men's group, and he started in a program, I can't remember the name of it, but you guys talk about it a lot. He goes once a week and restore or something like that. And so he kind of considers that's good, like he's doing everything that he's supposed to be doing. So even while he's doing all this other stuff, he's going to these groups. Anyway, long story, we have a four-year-old girl, little girl, and I find that I'm very angry at him for everything. So when I'm trying to deal with her and make appointments and go to appointments and stuff with him, it's very difficult for me to be like, Oh, hi. Yeah, let's meet at this appointment at 2 o'clock. So I'm struggling with how, where do I put that anger? What do I do with all of that anger?
Well, I would be experiencing, I'd be experiencing that too. We'll give you some help right after this. Listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. These are difficult things to discuss at a church. It's why we're here.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And you know, it's, you know, sometimes in the Christian world, people just offer these little things and want things to be all better and everything. When your husband is cross-dressing and then somebody says, "Oh, well, you should just forgive him," or whatever. Hey, that's not enough. We need greater wisdom. Something's got to happen here. And so Melissa, now, has he been, did you say he was unfaithful to you? He's been unfaithful?
The girl, Melissa? Supposedly, I guess, yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, he has been unfaithful.
He went to visit somebody he met online just this past weekend.
Oh my goodness.
Before he went, I don't know what he did. I couldn't believe it if he told me he didn't do anything. So I don't really know.
Well, he did something. He was online with someone he's not married to.
That's right.
So is he living with you?
No, he's not. He's living in another house away
okay.
from us.
All right. So what's the question for us then? Horrible situation for you. What's the question?
Yeah. Well, he's kind of blaming me because I didn't tell him to stay and all that. And I know that that's not my fault, but I really do have a problem. I feel bad, and I feel very angry at him. And so whenever I'm trying to deal with, like, my daughter is special needs, so there's a lot of appointments and stuff that we have set up, and it's not my daughter, it's our daughter. I say to him, I need to talk to him about appointments, and can he watch her, can he come? And I find I want to say all these bad things. I don't, but I want to.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to even communicate because I just want to kind of scream, and I don't know what to do with all this.
Well, sounds like to me he's divorced you, but you guys have not had the paperwork filled out yet. What's stopping that?
Well, I've done all the separation papers. We have to wait. We're in Virginia, so we have to wait a year. But yes, you're right, Steve. He has said that, well, we're getting a divorce anyway. And he said, you're going to find somebody soon. I just did it kind of before you.
So you're hoping that we can help you motivate him to be there for you or help you deal with the anger that every time he disappoints you and doesn't help you that you're experiencing.
Just help me deal with the anger because I mean, I've gotten everybody on board I can here with the church and with some other things. I don't know what else to do for him. So I got to do something for me and my anger so that I'm not an angry mom because I get short with her.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got a thought here, but I want to hear from Mylon, you first and then Chris on this ongoing anger that's there. What do you think?
Well, Melissa, if you keep saying nothing and you stuff it and you hold it in, it will leak out some place or another. It will chew you up on the inside, and it will, you know, leak out, and your daughter will be the recipient of it, and that's hard. Listen, you have all the right to be angry. Yep. You know, the Bible says be angry, but just don't sin. So how does one be angry? And, well, it's a natural God-given emotion because we're made in the image and likeness of God, and you have to get angry, which means you need to tell people what you really think. You need to tell your husband how disappointed you are, and you need to be able to express that.
Oh, I definitely tell him.
Okay. So then secondly, the other thing you need to do is to separate from him and perhaps realize this is not a responsible man. This is this guy, your husband sounds like a teenager, And he does not know how to operate in life, and perhaps you need to develop a life that is less dependent upon him so he doesn't disappoint you, even though you're co-parents of this child. And I'm sorry, and I know it's very hard for you. I would also get into a grief recovery group where you can, because you faced a massive loss, you know, the loss of having a disabled daughter and also the loss of a marriage that seems normal or common, and I would get into a processing group of some sort, and or a trauma group where you can do trauma recovery, because all this is traumatizing to you. But I would get into a group, and I would be in a place where I could process. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And if you haven't attended the Restored workshop that we offer, I would. See, you know, it's not coming up until February, and it's here in Orange County, California, but I would definitely do that. But to speak to the anger, we do have to be careful with this. Because as Mylan said, oftentimes when we don't express our anger appropriately, we bleed it out into some destructive areas. And one of the areas we do is we get angry at ourselves. Mm-hmm. We turn the anger in. And so to protect yourself from continuing with the anger trap, as Mylan said, set really strong boundaries. And in the loss of the marriage, it's going to require a process of letting him go. We call that detaching. Mm-hmm. You know, letting him go, letting him go, letting him go. What is he doing? None of your business. What is he thinking?
Right.
None of your business. That way you're not trapped in being hurt over and over. And in these groups and in your own therapy, underneath the anger is a lot of hurt. And you got to go through the healing process by touching that hurt and processing through it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When we come back, I've got one word for you. It's my new word for 2020. My word for 2019, of course, was tricky. But I got a new word, and I'm going to share it with you because I think it's important in this particular situation. We'll take a break and come right back. 1-800-229-3000. We're in for another hour and a half here with you. Not your typical Bible study situations we're dealing with here. And we're so thankful to every person that supports us to allow us to do what we're doing.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. Melissa has a husband that she's still married to, and she's got anger. And Melissa, here's my word of the year for 2020. Yes. I'm going to use it on you, even though we're not in that year yet. And it's the word acceptance.
All right.
Acceptance. Maybe it's time to accept the fact that this isn't the guy that ought to be taking care of your daughter when your daughter needs to be taken care of. Maybe it's time to accept that he's not fit to be a father. And maybe it's time to accept that he will always be the same, most likely, so that you're not disappointed every time he does what he's been doing for so long. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think that's true. It scares me about the part about the not fit to be a father. I guess so that just scares me a little bit because I'm just, you know, I guess that's just really hurtful for her. But I understand. I hear what you're saying for sure.
Well, I just wonder, what is your assurance that one day when you're leaving your daughter with him, that some person that he's been trolling for online, he doesn't invite them over?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have none. I have no assurance of that.
Yeah.
That is right.
So I think you have to accept that things might be worse than you're even willing to look at right now.
Yeah.
Because your daughter really needs you.
Yes.
And you need to stay sane, and maybe the only way to stay sane is this word acceptance.
You know,
the
Melissa,
I'm
sorry.
I was just going to say one more thing. Just the big book says, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And that really can be true. Yeah, Mylon.
So, Melissa, I was going to just say one of the things you have to really wrestle with is how angry you are at yourself.
Ooh, yeah.
How do I get roped into a relationship with this guy, or how did I choose, or how did we get here, and why am I here? And looking back, we can become very angry at the choices we've made, and that's a part of what we need to do in terms of processing and having somebody safe to talk to. I just want you to think about that too, Melissa.
And then be able to forgive yourself and just realize you didn't see the whole picture, and it just helps you to continue to try to make good choices for your daughter. All right, let's go over here to how about we talk to let's see, is that Celine? No, that's there's Celine right there. Hi, Celine. Wait, help, Mister. There, got her. Houston, Texas. She
Hi.
Listens to the program on the app. How can we help today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have called the show before, and thank you guys for helping me so much. Now I have a situation with my son. He's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. The last time I called, I told you that kids bother him in school. He gets bullied and stuff, and we've been working on that. But I talk to him. We figure out what to do with the situation. But now I realize that something's going on because he's not processing things, and he seems to be getting angry more. And the unfortunate part is I have a six-year-old daughter who is a super bugaboo, as every little girl can be. Now, what happens is ends up taking out his frustrations on her. So when she's trying to play with him or do something, and when he gets to his limit, he gets angry. And as of yesterday night, he literally slapped his sister, and I don't know what to do with that because that's not the kind of boy he has always been. So I just wanted to know what else I can do to help him.
Okay. I think it's always so hard when we come to realize who our children are and who they've come to be and what they're capable of. Rather than, you know, what we thought. And it's a horrible thing that he did that. It doesn't mean he's all bad, but it does mean that you have to do some more serious things than just hope things work out for the best. Chris, what are your thoughts?
My first thought is hurt always rolls downhill. And that is when we're powerless against the bullies at school, and we have all of this hurt and anger and frustration inside of us, we're looking to power up on somebody else. And obviously, whoever is in a power down position that happens to be in our way gets the brunt of that. You know, that's actually something that happened in my home as being the youngest, and that's really painful. And so I think the first thing, with your 12-year-old, is he in the same environment where he was bullied?
Yeah, he's still in the school. It's in school.
I would look at it, seeing if we can get him in a different place. The first thing that he needs to feel is protected. Mm-hmm. He needs protection, and so that he feels safe. And when he feels safe, he's going to be safer for his sister.
Yes.
You know, and obviously
he did mention that, because when he tells us that, you know, my sister pinched me, we're like, she's, most of the time, I guess Sue is like, she's just a kid, it's okay. And yesterday he said that, you know, when he tells the people at school that somebody's bothering him, nothing seems to be done. And I guess that's what we see, we are doing too. And I guess that's what's piling up for him.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing that, like, well.
You're mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I see that.
So okay. Let's look at options. Let's see what other places we can get him so he can feel safe, he can learn, he can grow, and his gifting and his personality and character can grow in a safe environment. And then there's a lot of this emotional stuff that goes underneath. And Mylan, you and Kay talk a lot about that, especially in how we love our children.
Well, if it bad behavior is a symptom of something else. And we stop and correct the behavior often, and we say, you know, don't do that anymore. That's not my son that I know. That's not you. But who is it? Mm-hmm. You see, who is underneath that behavior? What is the boy that is, as Chris said, you know, hurt, goes downhill, and so it transfers. And so really, bad behavior is an immature language, if you will. And so to then put words to and names to, who are the bullies? What do they do to you? Tell me how you feel. Where do they harm you? What are the feelings and emotions you have when you feel trapped and you can't get away from these kids and they're tormenting you? And, you know, you need to hear and help him be able to put a full expression of what's going on and the feelings that accompany that. So that he is fully understood. And then when that happens, he then understands why he's hangry and hitting his daughter or his sister. And then you guys as a family can choose to do something about this. But we understand first and fix tomorrow, just metaphorically, just at a later time. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to help him really outline and tell you everything that's going on and to just talk about how scared he is inside, how humiliated, embarrassed, beaten down, and shameful he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you know, those are the key feelings.
While you're can I say
yes. something?
Yes.
We do, like, so the last time I called, it was, of course, you guys mentioned about, you know, talking to them and having time with them. So I have two kids, so I split it up into 15 minutes. So every day I talk to them 15 minutes, and we're like, okay, this is me and you, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So he does tell me about the kids in school and what they do, and I ask him, we have your soul words printed in every room in our house. And
beautiful.
I'm like, what is that? How does it make you feel? And what is it? So we do that, but I guess there's no solution. He'll
right.
still go back to school and the bullies will still do this. And
but
then,
you need, that's what Chris is saying. We have to get him to that place of protection. Steve, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wonder, I mean, I literally would be looking at getting him enrolled in martial arts or something, you know, my kids got involved with climbing and they developed some strength and competency. I mean, I would be, mm-hmm. while I'm nurturing him and looking at those things, I might be thinking about how can we equip him mm-hmm. to deal with these folks where he feels strong and competent. And it'll take a while, but I feel for him that he feels helpless mm-hmm. in the face of the bullying there. So it's something for you to consider for him. It really could.
Okay.
Well, I've just seen it. I've seen it change the way a child feels about himself or herself when they have that inside of them, that they're either acquiring a skill or they have it. I'll tell you, once you have a black belt in Taekwondo or something, nobody can take that from you, and you're always known as that. It's you know, like a Eagle Scout. I mean, it's powerful. Anyway, consider that. Let me send you How We Love Our Kids, and I hope and pray something that we've said is helpful. That boy is worth it. He's worth saving, and he needs a lot of different kind of help. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I want to talk to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, all these calls, I've said it, these are not things that are easily dealt with in church. It's why we're here. We want to help folks, help people know how they can help us help others.
Steve, the best example of that was a note I got, New Life got a couple days ago. It said, as a child, I believed I would spend my life in a mental hospital without godly counsel. And your ministry, and without your ministry, that's probably where I'd be. And that's what this, that's what New Life does. People are on the brink of going into a mental institution. They listen to the program and find there's hope and there's help and there's healing. And that's why we seek your support. And the best thing that you can do right now is make a year-end gift and designate it to our matching gift fund. $168,700 was put out there as a challenge to our listening audience to match here before the end of the year. And so, you know, every gift you give will be doubled. But we can't get it soon enough because I think that I just think God's going to bless this place and this ministry in a way that we can reach more people and do more things and help in ways that we don't even know right now. I think Ephesians 3:20 is coming at us, you know, where God says that he can do things beyond what we can think and imagine. Yeah. And so we're looking forward to that.
And you know, it you could boil it down to this, what we do here. We apply God's wisdom to some broken hearts and homes to transform those lives into redemptive relationships. That's what we do. It's applying God's wisdom. It's not just knowing it, but it's knowing when to and how to apply it. And there are no simple solutions to these difficult issues. And if you can help us help others, please, please call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Help us help others. Please consider us as we come to the end of the year. Most everybody is giving at year end. Please help us help others. We are strong, conservative, very, very credible folks when it comes to being good stewards with your money.
Last thing, Steve, should have been the first. I want to thank everybody who made the matching challenge. I want to believe the people who are responding. Can't thank people enough.
Amen. All right, let's go to Pat, Denver, Colorado, KRKS, our final phone call. But if you're on and you hold on, we'll be doing this in another program right after this. This is Pat, Denver. What's going on, Pat?
Well, I just want to let you know that, first of all, that I'm an 87-year-old mother of a son who is dual-diagnosed with, you know, he's got the alcohol and he's bipolar, and he's suffered with this now since age 14, and he's now 63, and it just seems like things are getting worse and worse. The anxiety and the depression is just overwhelming him. And
he's never stopped the drinking? Is that right? He's never been able to stop drinking?
You know, he lies about it, you know, and says that he doesn't. And so I think, you know, he plays a game with the meds and the drinking.
Does he play the game with his mom, too? Does he use you and manipulate you?
Well, I've been used and abused and, you know.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I have. He did hold down a job for 29 years with United Airlines. And, you know, he has times when he's been better. But after he once, they offered him retirement. And he's always had not managed money, so I have paid rent for him.
So what's the question for us? Because we're almost out of time here at the end of our program. What's your question?
Well, how do you just ignore, I mean, like the text that I got this morning, he either doesn't make any kind of contact, or I get a text saying this is the worst I've ever been. I'm dying, and I just want to be with Jesus.
Yeah, I probably would respond to that. I totally understand how you feel. I really believe once you get into recovery for the alcohol problem, there's going to be new insight, new hope, new light brought into your life. And that's what I'm hoping and praying for you today. That would be how I would respond. Chris, Mylon, thoughts on this?
Yeah, 63 years is not too late to get into recovery. And bipolar is not too big of a problem to get into recovery. And so both need to obviously work together. Most people who struggle with addiction have a serious mental disorder. Not everyone, but many do. And so it's basically, you know, what Steve was saying. I'm sorry for the way you feel. I understand that. But going back to, son, I'll help you get better, or I'll help you get the appropriate help, but I won't continue to help keep you stuck where you are, killing yourself, really.
Yeah. Well,
Mylon, do you have a thought here? Because I'm thinking that the more she helps, the more helpless he feels. The older he is, mm-hmm. the more helpless and out of options. What do you think?
Well, Pat, what I heard you describe was anxiety and depression, and that doesn't necessarily equate to bipolar. I think it's important to always be looking at whatever diagnosis is tagged onto somebody and always question that, because I hear a lot of things tossed out there and then people operate as though that's true. And I don't take that as true whenever I hear somebody with a diagnosis or they say it or they report it, because I hear a lot of different professionals saying a lot of different things about people. So I don't just sit on that. If he's anxious and depressed, it's a miserable, miserable existence. I could see why he wouldn't want to live. But as Steve and Chris have already said, the most important thing you need to do is work on the addiction first. When the addiction has been eliminated and the person is detoxified at some level from that dependence, then all of a sudden you can see more clearly, what are you trying to treat? What are you trying to deal with here? When they're all confused and all bunched up together in this big ball, it's hard to discern. And I would just say number one priority is addiction treatment first.
All right.
Okay.
So
after drinking this many years, though, can that affect the brain to where he's, does it cause these other things?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly makes them worse, and you will never know what's possible, nor will he, until he decides, I'm going to recover and stop the drinking, because he's proved that it's really unhealthy for him. You know, it's just never too late to get better. And if he would get better, you know, there might be 30 years literally left on a life like his where he could do some great things. There's pain right now, and it's servicing the problem. And what you want is his pain servicing the solution. And if you lower the pain enough where he gets by, but he doesn't solve the problem, then have we really helped him? You know, sometimes we're protecting people from the pain that could be the pain that flips them right into, let's get some help after all these years. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join me for the next program with Mylon and Chris. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help or you want to help us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.